Let's begin Maseches Beitz Arbeah. So the first question is how do you pronounce the word Beitz Arbeah? So the Magen Avraham brings down from the thing Ma'aril that says one should not say Beita, it's an inappropriate word. And the Gruz has quoted as saying that no, if you don't say Beitza, you're not Bikoris for saying Beah. So it's both extremes. So just interesting, never do we find Rabbeinu Chananel open the Masechet up with a poem. Look at Rabbeinu Chananel, the inside, or the left side.
Is it Beitza or Beah?
That's what I'm discussing right now. Machlok is whether you say Beitza or Beah.
But the truth is that the word Beitza doesn't have any bad connotation. That's your mind.
Right, exactly. Right. So, but if they felt that way, they wanted to, you know, Lashon Naki.
Yeah, but, you know, Beitzim is also Hebrew.
Part of the body.
Part of the human body.
Yeah, okay, so.
So they say, don't use that word Beitza because it refers to a part of the body. So that's what they say. So look at Rabbi Chananel.
So who says that you should?
That's
you should.
Slang.
The Gra, I never saw it written down, but supposedly the Gra says anybody who doesn't say Beitza, who says Beah, that itself is.
But what is a Beah? Beah from what?
Aramaic is Beah. They say Beah. When you find
it.
Yeah, it says them a few times in Chess.
So you're still saying a bad word in Aramaic. If you consider it a bad word, no matter what.
Right, either way, it refers to the same thing.
Right.
Well, first, so Rabbeinu Chananel, look.
Happening is 6:40 today.
Yeah, so we'll hurry up. So quickly, look at Rabbeinu Chananel, just quickly. He says, "Aschil Maseches Beita, Bejas Gadol Ha'Eita." The left side, Rabbeinu Chananel. So why is he doing a?
Really rhyming.
Exactly. So it sounds like in his time, right, they messed up in a debate, and he was trying to prove the point. It only rhymed, obviously, if you pronounce it as Beita, not if you pronounce Beah.
Right.
Perhaps that was his intention.
Ah.
Okay. So the Mishnah says, "Beita Shenol Dem Yomtes."
He makes it. The only way it rhymes with Eita would be Beita, not Beah. So obviously, maybe he wants to make a point that you should say Beita.
What?
He never has a poem.
Go on.
Bezad Gadol Haitza.
Right. Okay. So if you would say Beah, then he wouldn't rhyme with Eita.
Okay. Says the new mission. Beitza Shinold of Yomtif. Beitza that was laid on Yomtif. Beishame Omrim Tochal, one's allowed to eat it. And Beisil Omrim Lo Sochal, you cannot eat an egg that was laid on Yantif. And the Gemara is going to explain the Machlokas, that's going to cover the first few blot of the Masechta. Next Machlokas is Beishame Omrim Seor Bekazayas, very relevant today, Rosh Chodesh, that when it comes to the Seor, which is the sourdough of Chametz, it's the yeast what makes Chametz dough Machmetz. So if in order to violate that, the Gemara will explain in a week from now or so. The shear of owning a seor is a kazayas, but the chametz, if you have chametz itself, actual bread, b'kikoseves, the size of a dried date. Beis Hillel omrim zeve zeve kazayas, both shear of a seor and a chametz, whether it's the yeast or whether it's the dough, the chametz itself, both of them have the same shear of a kazayas. This Gemara is going to explain the machlokas in a few days from now. And then there's a third machlokas, hashochet chayev of b'yam. The person shechs a chayin of. The halacha is, if you shecht a wild animal, like a deer, or you shech the bird, you have to do kisei hadam, cover the blood afterwards. When you shech the behema, domesticated animal, such as a cow, there's no kisei hadam. So let's say yomtif, you shech the animal, a wild animal, or an oaf, which you're allowed to do in yomtif. And what are you supposed to do about covering the blood? Beishami omrim, yachpor bedekar v'chaser. You're supposed to take some type of shovel or something, not quite a shovel, but some type of utensil, and take the dirt and cover the blood. Even though there's a melacha and shabbos of chofer, you're not allowed to dig things, you're supposed to do that. And beishil omrim, lo yishchot. You could only shecht it if you have already prepared dirt from beforehand. Now this machlokas is very confusing.
Is this one of the ones that the Sela is more chamer than Beishama?
Yeah.
The
this is also found in Maseches Edios. Maseches Edios lists all the differences. And that's exactly why Tosos writes, see Tosos Dibur Maschel Seor B'Kazayas. He says, "Lo shayachach. Why are we talking about kazayis? We're talking about yom tov halachas. Why are we talking about the shear of a chametz and seor?" He says, "Lo shayachach amidei ela ma'isi kan tlas mila gav yom tov beis hillel chomer beis shamay lekulam." Even though the Maseches Beitz is really about muksa stuff, we're talking about other halachas of yom tov. The beis hillel is machmir and beis shamay are mekel. There are three other cases that are not related to yom tov where beis shamay is mekel. We're not mentioning those. Only in the realm of yom tov. So now the Mishnah concludes and says. Umodim, both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai agree, im shachot, if it was shechted already, b'dieved, sheyachvor b'dekar v'yichaser, you're allowed to use a shovel of some sort and cover up the blood, sheyfer kir muchanu, because ashes of a stove are mutter, are prepared already. This last mission doesn't make any sense to us. You have to just wait until we get to the Gemara.
What do you mean? It's not in Yom Tov? Both admit that not in Yom Tov?
This halach about Yom Tif, but Maseches Beitz is about Muksa, not about Shir HaChametz, and not about covering Kisei Dam and Yom Tif. The fact that we started talking about Yom Tif and Beishamet being Mekil and Beisil being Machmir, we brought two other halachas about Yom Tif, even though it's not Muksa, but about Yom Tif, where Beishamet is Mekil, Beisil is Machmir. Because usually, if you shechted it on Yom Tif, So now this last few lines is very confusing. The Gemara is going to explain what's going on here. We're going to have to ignore this for the time being till we get to the Gemara probably Daf Zayin or so. Okay. So Gemara asks, what are we talking about? The very first case of the Mishnah where a chicken laid an egg on Yom Tif, and Beis Shammai says you can eat it. Beis Hillel says you may not eat it. What type of chicken are we talking about? Their machlokas is. Ilema b'tarnegolos ha'omedes le'achila. We're talking about a chicken that was raised in order to be eaten, to ultimately shech the chicken and eat it. And then it laid an egg. So normally, chickens that are meant to be eaten are not there to lay eggs. They're there to be eaten. So my time, I had the Beis Hillel. Why does Beis Hillel say you cannot eat it? Uchlud afrasu. It's food that came from other food. So it's not considered muksa, because part of muksa is about das, my ability to anticipate something. So I have this chicken, and I'm anticipating to eat it. I'm even anticipating perhaps shechting on Yom Tov to eat it. And anything that's inside it, I could eat. So the fact that this egg had been removed and extracted from the chicken, it's still considered, in my mind, it's still not considered muksa. I still anticipate eating this and everything inside of it. So why did Beis Hillel say you cannot eat such an egg? Everyone would agree you should be able to eat an egg of a chicken that was there to be eaten. Ella must be talking about Tarnagolos HaOmedes Lagada Basim. Must be a chicken where I did not have in mind to ever shech this chicken. It was there simply just to lay eggs. Eggs, eat the eggs, sell the eggs. This chicken was not ever meant to be shechti. So this case, I never had in mind to eat this chicken. So then if it laid an egg, that would be considered muksa because it was not in my das to ever eat anything about this chicken. So then if it's about a Tarnagolos HaOmedes Lagada Basim, it was there to raise eggs, then my tamayu de Beis Shammai muksu. Why does Beis Shammai say you can't eat it? It would be considered muksa if it came from something I didn't expect to come. Anything, again, muksa is anything that was unexpected. So if it was the God of Beitim, I didn't expect to eat this egg. But the question is, why would Beis Shammai permit it? Isn't it a problem of muksa? It wasn't prepared before Yom Tov. So Gemara says, my kushya.
It's no lot, right?
Exactly. This is no lot. So the Gemara says, my kusha, what's your problem? Maybe Dilma Beis Shammai less than muksa. Maybe Beis Shammai doesn't hold of muksa. The Sakadaitan, because we have an opinion of Rabbi Shimon throughout Masechah Shabbos and throughout Masechah Beitza, Rabbi Shimon does not hold of muksa. There are a few exceptions where he does agree there's muksa,
right, he does hold of muksa,
but for the most part, he holds no muksa exists. So maybe Beis Shammai is like Rabbi Shimon, that there's no muksa.
He's a moy.
Sorry?
Is that why?
No, Tana. Maybe Beis Shammai holds muksa doesn't exist. And that's why it permits you, even though the chicken is muksa, if it lays an egg, you can still have the egg, because muksa is not a concept that Beis Shammai acknowledges. The Gemara says no.
But one second. Yeah. Here, it's not, it's because of no.
That's so that's the Gemara is about to say that. Gemara says, you're right. Sakadaita, nafilu man deshaibu muksa, even the opinion that, say, Rabbi Shimon, who permits muksa, but no law to us. This is no law. This is creating something. Muksa is something that already exists in this world. I have a rock. The rock exists. It wasn't been created, but it's muksa because I never had a mind on using this on Yom Tov or on Shabbos. No law is even further removed from the das. At least a rock. I saw the rock. I know it existed. I know it was on my property. But a no law, the egg was ever there. It was so far removed from my mind. So even then, Rabbi Shimon and perhaps Beis Shammai also would say, okay, muksa is permitted, but no law, that's certainly usur. So we're talking about a Tarnagolas omedes lagada basin. I never had in mind to eat this chicken, and it laid an egg. That was completely out of mind. I didn't expect it. So therefore, it would be considered nulla and usur according to Beis Shammai. So why would Beis Shammai permit you to eat an egg that was laid on Yom Tov by such a chicken? So the Gemara says, my tamayu to Beis Shammai, what's the reasoning Beis Shammai permits it? So the Gemara says, Amar of Nachman, this is the first answer the Gemara is going to suggest. Amar of Nachman, Leolim b'tarnagolos ha'omedes lagada beitim. Yes, we're talking about chicken that is there to raise eggs, even though the chicken itself is not, even though the chicken itself is considered muksa, because I didn't expect to eat it. Ud islay muksa islay nolad, ud lesay muksa lesay nolad. We're not splitting up. If you hold a muksa, you hold of nolad. If you don't hold a muksa, you don't hold of nolad. So therefore, Beishamah, he also holds that there's no such thing as nolad. Even though there is room to think there's a difference, you could think of a possibility where someone would permit muksa, but aser nolad. Beishamah takes the most extreme approach and says, even nolad's mutter, muksa is not an issue at all. Nolad's not an issue at all. And therefore, even though this is nolad, Beishamah permits you to eat an egg, and Beis Hillel prohibits you from eating
what
such an egg.
What's the Havamina of being aser, of nolad being aser?
Hamin is simply because you could see Nolad is more removed from your das. It's a misvara.
So Nolad is just one, is a more chamor reason for Mukta. It's not a separate Easter.
That's probably a discussion the Rishonim would be, I guess. Uh-huh. I don't remember. Probably is a discussion. Okay. So the Gemara says, again, the Islay Mukta, Islay Nolad, the less Lay Mukta, less Lay Nolad. So you cannot separate between muksa and nolad. Beishamai k Rabbi Shimon. Beishamai holds like Rabbi Shimon in general. Like we said, Rabbi Shimon holds there's no such thing as muksa. And Beis Hillel k Rabbi Huda, who holds that there is muksa. So that's machlok. Because this mission is there muksa or is there not muksa? Is there nolad or is there not nolad? That's what the machlok is according to Rav Nachman. But then the Gemara asks, Umi Amar Rav Nachman Hachi, does Rav Nachman really say that Beis Hillel holds muksa and Beishamai does not hold a muksa? Hatanan, we have the following Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, this Mishnah is found in Masech HaShabbos, that Beishamai Omrim, Magbin Me'al HaShulchan Atzamos V'Klipim. Let's say you finish your lunch, your Suda on Shabbos, and you have some bones from chicken left over, or you have some of the shells of the nuts. So Beishamai says, pick up the shells, pick up the bones, and throw them in the garbage. They're not muksa, even though there's no purpose. Now muksa is usually defined by something that has no purpose. If it has no purpose, that means it's not in your das. So the bones and the shells that are inedible is not part of my das. It has no purpose. It's muksa. Beishamai says, anyways, you could pick up the shells, pick up the bones, and throw them in the garbage. There's no problem. Muksa. Beis Hillel omrim misalik is a tavla kula umnara. Nope, you can't pick them up. You could indirectly move them, which means you take the tablecloth, shake them off, and that's how you remove them. But to directly pick them up, that's a problem of muksa. So we see right now, Beis Hillel holds a muksa. Beishamai does not. But comes along Amar of Nachman on this mission. He comments, Anu ein lanu ela Beishamai k'Rabbi Yehuda Beishilah k'Rabbi Shimon. Rav Nachman switches everything around. Even though the Mishnah presents it one way, Rav Nachman says the Girsa should be the other way, meaning that Beishamai says you have to shake out the tablecloth, and Beishilah permits you to pick up the shells and pick up the bones. So Rav Nachman holds Beishilah doesn't hold a muksa, Beishamai does hold a muksa, the opposite of Rav Nachman says here. So it's a stira. So Gemara says, Rav Nachman responds, Gave Shabbos, when it comes to Shabbos, the Stam Lon Tanak Rabbi Shimon, we have a Stam Mishnah on Shabbos that holds like Rabbi Shimon. We always follow like a Stam Mishnah. And the Stam Mishnah on Shabbos holds like Rabbi Shimon where there is no Muksa on Shabbos. What's the Stam Mishnah? You could cut up pumpkins for an animal to eat. And you could also cut up a nevela for the dogs. Rashi tells us, I'll just say outside because we have very little time today. Nevela, Rashi says that it became an animal, died on Shabbos. Since it died on Shabbos, the definition of muksa is defined by Bein HaShemashos. What was the status during Bein HaShemashos? So let's say I had a dead animal from Erev Shabbos, and dead animal is something that my dogs could eat. So since Bein HaShemashos already was dead, it's already not muksa. I had in mind to give it to my animals to eat. But let's say on Shabbos itself, the animal dies. I had a cat that dies, let's say, on Shabbos. So since Bein HaShemashos, the cat was alive and wasn't roy to be eaten, it was already muksa. And once it's defined as muksa Bein HaShemashos, even though later on Shabbos it might be able to be eaten by a dog, it's muksa forever.
Like nolad.
Exactly. It's not nolad, but at least it's somewhat different because it was in this world, but it's something changed about it.
Right.
Tosas in the bottom talks about some of the differences of nolad, what other examples are. So what happens is, so this case of a nevela that became a nevela on Shabbos, even though it would be muksa, the Stam Mishnah tells us you are allowed to cut up the dead nevela on Shabbos and give it to your dogs. So we see that we don't hold the muksa on Shabbos. Stam Mishnah on Shabbos says muksa is not an issue. You could cut up the nevela on Shabbos. So therefore, mokim le beis hillel k'Rabbi Shimon. So that's why we say beis hillel, Rav Nachman says beis hillel, we always passing like beis hillel. I mean, always passing like a Stam Mishnah. So we say Beis Hillel, we always passing like must hold like Rabbi Shimon, where there is no muksa. That's in terms of Masechah Shabbos. No muksa Masechah Shabbos. Aval, however, Gave Yom Tov, this Stam Lan Tanak Rabbi Yehuda, Yom Tov, Masechah Beitza, We have a Stam Mishnah that holds that Mukse is a problem. We have a Stam Mishnah that tells us, Rabbi Yehuda, Ditnan, Ein Mavakin Eitim Minak Koros, you're not allowed to cut up wood from the beams that were set aside to be beams of the house. V'lo Minak Koros Yenishbur Minak Yom Tov. Let's say I have a beam that cracked and broke and fell down on Yom Tov. I cannot cut that up on Yom Tov. Why? Because Mokim La Beis Halak Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda thinks anything that changes form on Yom Tov, it changed, it was once a beam on my house, and now it broke. Now that it's broken, it's something I could use for firewood. I can add fire to an already existing fire on Shabbos. On Yom Tov, rather, not Shabbos, Yom Tov. So, but you still can't use it, because it's Muksa. It was once, what? So it was once a beam, which was Muksa, but now since it's broken beam, it's broken wood, it has no purpose for my house, the only purpose is for firewood, so I should be able to use it. Says the Mishnah, we can't use it because it's Muksa. Since it was not able to be used on Bein HaShemashos, you can't even use it now, even though it is... Right. So we see, it comes to Yom Tov, we do hold a Muksa. So the Gemara says, Michli, let's understand this for a second. So how do we understand this contradiction? Maseches Shabbos, we hold Stam like Rabbi Shimon, there is no Muksa. On Maseches Beita, we hold Stam like Rabbi Yehuda, that there is Muksa. So Gemara says, Michli, Man Stama, the Masnisin, who was the one who put together... who organized and edited the Mishnayos, Rebbe. So Rebbe, he was the same person authoring everything. So Maishna b'Shabbos d'Samlan k'Rabbi Shimon, who Maishna b'Yom Tov d'Samlan k'Rabbi Yehuda. Why did he present Shabbos as no Muksa? And Muksa, Yom Tov.
Anyways, even if you hold like that, Yom Tov is always more Meikle than
So see, that's for that very reason, we actually want to do the opposite. So that's the word I was going to explain, the opposite. That what? So what's the difference? Amre Shabbos de Chamira v'lo asi lezilzulei ba stamlan k'Rabbi Shimon. Shabbos already is chamer. We all know how serious Shabbos is. It's skila, a lot more serious. We're not allowed to do any cooking at all on Shabbos. So therefore, they didn't need to add any more chumers. We have enough chumers on Shabbos, and we're not concerned anyone's going to be mezalzel Shabbos. However, when it comes to Yom Tov, the keel that's very lenient. We are able to cook on Yom Tov. We can do a lot of malachas on Yom Tov. V'asi lezilzulei ba Yom Tov. Come on, it's not much. It's basically a chol moed. So people are going to be mezalzel Yom Tov. Therefore, they have to create a chumrah, stamlan k'Rabbi Yehuda, the machmir. They have to balance it out and say, no, muksa is going to be a problem on Yom Tov. Now, the interesting tosfos, we don't have much time here, but the interesting tosfos is that he tells us, why do we have stam mishnayos in the first place? If we know the stam mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, or the stam mishnah is Rabbi Shimon, or the stam mishnah is even Rabbi Meir oftentimes, so why don't you say Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon? The Tosfos writes in a very small line, but elsewhere he elaborates, the idea is Rebbe wanted to give you the impression that the Stam was really a Rabbim. This person says, oh, the Stam is Rebbe Shimon, it's Rebbe Shimon versus Rebbe Yehuda, we don't have to hold like Rebbe Shimon. So he presented it in such a way that this is the Stam. Everybody agrees this way, even though it's really only one opinion. They wanted to give the image that this is the Rabbim. And we know Halacha, Yachid, Rabbim.
Which language, Stam?
Stam is, it means simple, it means closed also, where we don't know who the author is.
Stam is on Satum.
Right. So we don't know who the author is. It's closed off from us. So it gave that impression, and the impression, why didn't it say Rabbi Shimon?
From simple?
I think it means from Sosum. I think it means from closed.
Stam, really?
I think so.
Stam doesn't count for Kashrut.
Right.
So again, to give you the impression that it wasn't a Yachid who's saying the Halacha. It was the Rabbim. Everybody holds this way, even though we know it's really a Yachid. But they wanted to present it as the Rabbim, because we know Yachid v'Rabbim, Halacha k'Rabbim. We're always passing like the majority. Okay.
That's according to Rabbi Yehuda.
According to Rabbi. So this is the Gemara. Okay. Now, b'mayo kimta b'tanagolos ha'medes l'gala beitzim u'mishim mukta. So now, right now, we're working with the assumption that the explanation of our Mishnah is talking about a chicken that was there used to raise to lay eggs. Okay. And since it was there to raise eggs, it was never. No one had in mind to ever eat this chicken. And when the egg was laid, machlok is whether you hold a muksa or not muksa, or nolad or not nolad. So the Gemara asks the following question. Again, b'mayo kimta b'tanagolos ha'omedes l'gala beitzim, u'mishim muksa. Why do we explain it that way? If it's all about
usually,
muksa.
Usually the Mishnah starts with a statement, and here it starts with a machloket.
Is that true?
Based on what we learn, I don't know. Maybe I'm sure.
I don't think so. We have other cases. Sorry. Yeah. So then the Gemara says, "Ihachi, that's the case. If it's all about muksa, adim mifalge bebeitza lifsagubu tarnagolos." So the Mishnahs arguing the Beis Shammai Bisila arguing about a beitza. Why don't they also argue about the status of the actual chicken? Meaning, say, is a chicken muksa or not? If you hold a muksa, so the chicken's going to be muksa. If you don't hold the muksa, the chicken won't be muksa. So why is the machlokas only about the beta and not about the chicken? So Gemara says...
Who cares about the tarnigolet? You mean you shouldn't be able to shecht it?
No, just in terms of moving or holding the chicken, why do we have to take it to the next step of beta?
Because you want to eat beta. Mm-hmm. Tarnigolet, you're not planning to eat.
No, but the question of muks is always about moving, not eating.
No, I understand. But the bottom is the Mishnah is coming to tell you that the beta and samasel, you're not allowed to eat it. You know, it's not talking about what's muks and what's not.
No, it is talking about what's muks and what's not. It is addressing that. The first toast on the Masechta talks about the lashon of Beta Shinolda, whether it's tochal or lo sochal. Toast asks, why don't they say aser versus mutter?
Right.
So he talks about both elements of tiltul and achila, how those are two elements. But really the point is where the question is not, I hear, if it's about achila,
right.
So then you don't plan...
But the lashon says achila.
Right. Okay. I think Tosos is bothered by that question, that first Tosos. So Gemara says, if it's a question really about muksa, and muksa is something that not only impacts something you could eat, but it really impacts the ability to move something on Yom Tov or Shabbos, so why don't you speak about the egg? Speak about the prior case of the actual chicken before you even get to the egg. So, the Gemara says, again, ihachi ad maflagi bebeitza liflagu b'tarnigolos. Gemara says, lehodiyacha kochan de beishamai de benolad sharim. To show you the extreme case of Beishamai. Not only does Beishamai permit you to touch and move the chicken, which is only muksa, he even permits you to touch the egg, which is nola, which nola is just more of a chiddush. We said before in the Gemara, it's possible to have the chicken's muksa, but nola's usher. Beishamai says, no, even nola is permitted. So to teach you the strength of Beis Hillel. So Gemara says, okay.
The strength of Bina or the weakness of Beishamai?
Right now, the strength of Beishamai. How far he's willing to say things are permitted. And Mar says, what about Beis Hillel? May you go the other extreme. Maybe you should really lift the Gubatarnagolas lo diacha kochan de Beis Hillel, the muksa asri. Maybe you should try to highlight Beis Hillel's opinion that not only does he say Noah's asr, not only is the egg asr, but even the chicken, which is muksa, is also asr. Go the other direction, show how extreme Beis Hillel is. And Mar says, the following concept, vichitema kochta ter adif. So maybe you're going to say, oh no, because kochta ter adif, and the very important Rashi here, Rashi says, what's kochta ter adif mean? Rashi says that Tera Adifle, Tov Lo Lashmenu Koach Divrei HaMatir. It's better to teach the opinion that says Mutter. Why? Shu Somech Hashem Wasser. The person who says Mutter, he really, really relies on what he says. He learned the Sugya well. Because Ve'enu Yara Lehatir, he's not scared to make a Heter. It's very, very scary to permit something that others think it's Usher. So if you're willing to permit something, that means you learn the Sugya really, really well. About Koach HaOsen, the person who says Usher, Ain't a Raya, that's not a proof. Shakol Yo Yichol Nachmer. Anybody can be Machmer if they want. Aser. It's very easy to be machmir. So if a person says heter, he must be right. Because you really must have learned the sugya. To go in front of all the other bun and say, this is mutter, you must really have done your research. So kochta ter adif. That's why we want to teach Beis Shammai's extreme opinion that even the Beit is mutter. What do you mean? Is the Mishnah so short of words? The Mishnah could have simply said, very easily, liflagu, v'niflag b'tavayu. So argue in both cases. Tarnagolos ha medes lagada beitzim, hiu beitzasa, beishame omrim tochal, beishame omrim lo sochal. Just say, both the chicken and the beitza is the subject of machlokas. The fact that the Mishnah doesn't say both the chicken and the beitza is the subject of machlokas sounds like the machlokas is not about muksa and it's not about nolad. It must be only something about the beitza itself, not about the chicken. And therefore the Gemara rejects Rav Nachman's whole approach to the Mishnah that it's not a machlokas about muksa and nolad, it's about something else. Rav Nachman's thrown out, he's done with. Now the Gemara changes gears and says, so what is Machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel about? That they're arguing whether Beitza is mutter to be eaten or not. Elam Rabba tells us, Liolam Mitarnagolas HaOmedis L'Achila. Really referring to an animal, a chicken, that is there that I raised to get nice and fat and juicy to shecht, ultimately to eat. So there's no muksa issue at all now. So what's the issue? So Rabba says, Yom Tov Shechalios Acher Shabbos. We're talking about where Yom Tov falls out on Sunday. Shabbos, and then Yom Tov. Askinan. Umishim Hachana. It's an issue of Hachana. So, the Kesavar, what do you mean Hachana? That the, we'll read through, I can't read through Rashi's now, but there's based on Psukim, there's a halacha, and we'll quote a pasuk later on, that you're supposed to be Mechin, you're supposed to prepare a Shabbos meal, and supposed to prepare a Yom Tov meal from a Chol. So, but if Yom Tov fell on Sunday, So, meaning when the egg was laid on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, on Sunday, that means it was prepared on Shabbos. At least the way it was finished, we weren't preparing it, but it was Hakadosh Baruch Hu and Teva prepared on Shabbos. And you cannot use something on Yom Tov that was prepared on Shabbos, only something that was prepared on a Chol. So that's what the problem is. It didn't have Hachana. So Gemara explains further. Ukasava Rabba, Kol Beta Mesial de Ha'idna, any Beta that was born today, Me Esmal Gamrle, it was complete the day beforehand. V'Rabba Latame, Rabba goes according to his reasoning in general. Dama Rabba, Mai Dichsiv, what's the Pasuk mean when it says, V'Haya Bayom HaShishi, and on the sixth day, V'Achinu Es Hashay Yaviu, and it was prepared, that which you brought was already prepared, and the sixth day you did the preparations for the next day of Shabbos, tells us that Chol Mechin the Shabbos, V'Chol Mechin the Yom Tov. You have to prepare things on Chol for Shabbos, prepare things on Chol for Yom Tov. However, v'ein Yom Tov mechin l'Shabbos, v'ein Shabbos mechin l'Yom Tov. But you cannot use Yom Tov to prepare for Shabbos, nor can you use Shabbos preparing for Yom Tov. So if Yom Tov falls out on Sunday, and the egg was laid on Sunday, that means it's prepared on Shabbos, and that's a violation of this pasuk.
So 1 second. So here the case is that he prepared the tarnegolet erev Shabbos.
He didn't prepare anything.
Just
right, no, the chicken was, he always, for years now he's been raising this chicken to make it nice and, this particular egg though,
was only created on Shabbos.
Right.
Ah, okay.
And it was laid on Sunday.
So that's what the...
And the fact that was that the egg was created on Shabbos, or was ready, was finished on Shabbos, it makes it as if it would be making from Shabbos to Yom Tov.
Exactly. That's an Issa Deraisa right now. A violation of Hachana Deraisa. That'll be relevant for tomorrow's daf. So the Gemara says...
That's where Ruv Machalot comes from too?
That what comes up?
The roof for the food.
Oh, no. Comes from the, Tosa actually does connect it to Erev Tavshilin. There is a somewhat of a connection. The source is really Gemara in Pesachim. The second parak actually of Beitza talks about the Erev Tavshilin. That idea what you're talking about. Okay. So Gemara says, according to this, oh, by the way, the Tosa in the bottom here has an interesting machlokas here. The whole source of Hachana is based on the man falling. So the man falling, you need hachana for the man. So the fact that the Gemara here applies this halacha of hachana to Yom Tov implies that the man did not fall on Yom Tov either. But it could have fell. On Yom Tov, you're allowed to carry outside an Erev, as long as there's a tzarach mitzvah for it. So but this Gemara implies still it did not fall on Yom Tov. The bottom of this long Tosas v'haya, the bottom, he says, there are different midrashim whether the man fell on Yom Tov or not falling on Yom Tov. Okay. The Gemara says, now according to this reasoning, Amle Bai says, Elamiata, according to this, Yom Tov Ba'alma Tishri. So, let the Yom Tov falls out during the week. It falls out on a Tuesday. This year, Pesach is Tuesday. So, if an egg was laid on Tuesday, I should be able to eat the egg because on Monday it's prepared. It's only when Yom Tov falls out after Shabbos is it a problem. But during the week, it should be okay. Gemara says, Enechanami, you're right. It should be, fundamentally, it's permitted. But Gezer Mishim Yom Tov Acha Shabbos. They're concerned that if you permit a Yom Tov, an egg that was laid on a Tuesday, you might also permit an egg that was laid on a Sunday. So therefore, this is according. Say it again. That
because Beitila says that you can.
Beitila says you can't. Beitila says you cannot have the egg.
Beitila says you cannot have it. So this is talking about right.
Right. For Beitila, you can't eat it. Right. So even though really you should be able to eat it when Yom Tov falls out during the week, we say Gzeira lo plug across the board. You can never have an egg that was laid on Yom Tov. Because they're concerned that if you permit an egg that was laid on a Tuesday Yom Tov, because you're allowed to, then I'm saying, oh, wait a second. Maybe next year when it falls out on Sunday, the Yom Tov, last year I had the egg on Yom Tov, today also. He won't realize that today is different because today, Erev Yom Tov was really Shabbos, and Shabbos was Mechim for Yom Tov, and that's a problem. So Gemara says also, Shabbos, the Alma Tishri, on a regular Shabbos, if the egg was laid on Shabbos, you should be able to eat the egg because it was prepared on Friday. Gemara says that's usher also gezer mishum Shabbos ach Yom Tov because there's a concern that if Shabbos falls out or Yom Tov falls out on Friday, so it's a Yom Tov to Shabbos, and Shabbos was laid, and the egg was laid on Shabbos, you're going to say, oh, I was permitted last Shabbos, now this Shabbos is different because this Shabbos was preceded by a Yom Tov, and the chana was done on Yom Tov. You cannot have a Yom Tov preparing for a Shabbos. So Gemara asks, umi gazrina, are we really goes there? Such cases like this, v'atana, doesn't the Brisa tell us? Hashocha is a tarnegolus, you shech the tarnegolus, you shech the chicken. Umatzeba beitzim gemurus, you find eggs inside. My grandmother told me that in Europe it was like a big bonus. You bought chicken home and you shecht it, you found like an egg inside. It's like a big bonus, like an extra thing you got an egg also. It was rare, but it happened. discussion we'll see in a few days whether that egg is considered fleishiks or not. So you shecht a chicken and you find that you have some eggs inside. Mutaris l'achlan b'yomtif, you're allowed to eat it on yomtif. Ah, how could you eat an egg that was laid? It wasn't quite laid, but how could you create an egg that was discovered on yomtif? V'misa ligzar mishim hanach d'misal d'miyomim. You shouldn't permit to eat any egg that you discovered that was created, that was laid on yomtif, because you might come to eat it on a yomtif that fell out on a Shabbos, a yomtif that was on a Sunday that fell out after Shabbos.
That sounds strange.
So Gemara says, no. Amalei beitzim gemuras b'may iman milsa d'lashrichi. No, finding an egg, as I told you, my grandmother said, very rare to find an egg inside a chicken. So it's very, very uncommon. And the Gemara says, Milsa de la Shichi lo gazubo. Whenever there's a very uncommon event, we're not gozer at uncommon events. So since it was so uncommon, this is not part of the gezeira. And therefore, an egg found inside the chicken, the shecht and a yomtif, one may in fact eat. Any other egg that was laid on yomtif, on a regular yomtif, is prohibited from eating, lest it come to yomtif falling out after Shabbos.
So what? So we're making zeros.